So we'll see how this goes. But my point here is that we held that town hall because this is a dangerous period, okay? And we wanted to hear from Jim Ziegler, who I had on just a couple of weeks ago. Now, the state agitator, as we know him, you know, was agitated about two things. One is this prison plan that Ivy has, and we can certainly, and I'll talk a little bit about this in a second, and the second thing was the degree to which it looks as though there's going to be another iteration of a Mobile Bay Bridge. So we'll see what happens with that, okay? But the agitator's argument about the prison plan is exactly correct. Why in the world are we going to pay a P3 group, okay, partners group, you know, we don't control them. They just build the stuff and own it, and we rent it from them. Billions of dollars over 30 years. To what end? Well, supposedly to take care of all the problems we have with the prisons. Well, guess what? The way they're doing this, they don't even have enough spaces for the prison population that we have. So right away, there's a big strike against them. Secondly, the agitator says, look, you know, after 30 years, we're right back to the same problem we had before. We don't own these prisons. We don't have any equity in them. We've just spent money, and now we've got to do something else again. So the point here is build our own prisons, run them, and do what we have to do to make sure that, you know, we're checking all the blocks to make sure that, first of all, society is protected by getting bad guys off the street, okay? That's number one. Number two, making sure that you can run prisons in a safe, secure manner. So the agitator is basically saying, and we're going to post all of this, and you can go to the Common Sense Campaign website, get in touch with your House of Representatives member here in the legislature, and get in touch with your state senator and tell them no to this. Now, we understand that there is movement against what Ivy is doing, okay? We'll see how this is going to play itself out. But the fact of the matter is, we need to get in touch with our representatives and tell them no. And we are going to launch a plan, probably tomorrow, that will give you the indications of what you need to do so that you can follow up on what Jim Ziegler has requested that we do. And we'll do that. The other thing that he talked about was the bridge. And, of course, the outlines of the bridge remain to be seen. Kevin Spriggs, who sponsors our show, and I will be meeting with the ALDOT representative tomorrow morning. That's Matt Erickson. We've had a decent relationship with Matt. I think he tries very hard to, you know, see both sides of what's going on. So tomorrow we'll sit down, bounce off our common, well, we have already submitted it up to ALDOT in Montgomery, but this is the Coastal Alabama Consensus Plan. It's a consensus plan because when we briefed it to Spanish Fort, Daphne, and Fairhope's mayors, and the MPO over here, Eastern Shore MPO, they all agreed with it, okay? It's a plan that's doable. It's far less expensive than what ALDOT was proposing with a $2 billion price tag. But the point is, there may be other plans out there. So we're going to see how this goes, and I will take that up next week when we get a chance to talk about it, okay, after our meeting tomorrow. The other thing that I wanted to do on our town hall after Jim Ziegler talked about these two major issues that he wanted to bring up was that, and I gave everyone a handout with the points that I was going to talk about, okay? So under state issues, I wanted to talk about Common Core, executive power. I want to talk about fighting the feds through the GOP state attorney generals and our Secretary of State. I want to talk about the legislature passing, you know, different laws, and I want to talk about that. In national issues, I did want to get into questions about pushing our federal officials to resist as much as possible, and Jerry Carl certainly supports on that, as we found out, which I'll talk more about in a minute. We needed to talk about fighting Biden through the GOP state AGs, against similar to what I just said a minute ago, about us contacting our state attorney general and our Secretary of State. I wanted to mention H.R. 1, the Democrats' attempt to federalize all elections, which I'll mention in a minute. Then I needed to talk about Stop the Steal and defend the election integrity and the fact that you have some of these big cases coming up to the Supreme Court. Then I wanted to mention something about economic issues and foreign policy issues. So in the period of time that I had, we covered a lot. And I think it's instructive to see the fact that we had so many people there, as well as so many who were new members sparked by our Stop the Steal rally back in December and our bus trip that went to D.C. for the big rally that took place, okay? So it's an awfully important time for us to become engaged. This is no time to kind of lick our wounds and feel sorry for ourselves because, you know, Trump lost and, oh, my goodness. No. Now is the time to suck it up, get ready to fight. Because if we don't fight, if we don't resist, then we are in deep trouble, folks. Let me just give you a couple of examples about the deep trouble part of it, okay? Let's talk about H.R. 1. Excuse me. Which is the Democrats' attempt to federalize all elections. And it does other things too, but this federalization of elections is totally unconstitutional. So they don't care about the Constitution. They haven't cared about the Constitution for any number of years. Okay? I have a book that I've read before and I'm rereading it now. It was published back in 1992. Okay? Confronting the Constitution. 1992. And the arguments that the left made then are still here now. And they say the same things over and over again. The fatal flaws of the Constitution. Okay, we know the flaws. But isn't it interesting that the flaws have been worked through? Okay? The fact that the slavery trade was eliminated after 1807. The fact that many states abolished slavery. There was a civil war to end slavery. That means something. And as I've pointed out to you in other discussions, what is it about the reform movement in the United States that brought women into the vote? That opened up all sorts of different things for women and for other minorities. I mean, the case for the Constitution being flexible enough and adaptable to contemporary issues is proven by the things that we've talked about on this show for many, many moons. And it is getting to be many, many moons. I can't believe how long we've been doing this. But here you are. You have a Constitution that works when people want it to work. You know? Sure, it supported segregation for many, many years because that the system allowed it to be done. But once the system was changing, then you had the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act, 64 and 65. Things changed. People's attitudes changed. It all takes, you know, the kinds of leadership that we've had in the past to move forward on different issues. But this H.R. 1 is going to make it impossible for us to fix the problems with the election system that we see today. And here's another one of these wonderful Democratic... I'm sitting here thinking, how in the world can we possibly deal with these kinds of... And I get back to my Peggy Noonan quote. We're polarized because the fairness doctrine went away. Okay? How is it that Sheila Jackson Lee, and I mentioned this on Saturday, how is it that H.R. 127 is the kind of legislation that fits into the broad framework of constitutionally acceptable? Okay, I mean, H.R. 21 essentially is a backdoor to stop your ability to hold and bear arms, okay? It requires a mental health exams in order to buy a gun or ammo, okay? Your gun rights are going to be in the hands of a psychiatrist who might ask what you thought about President Trump, what you think about the election, or any number of leftist talking points. It's going to ban all magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. We get back. We've seen this in New York. Now, you know what? If you get into a problem where you've got a home invasion and maybe three or four people are in there and this has happened, you know, you go through a 10-round clip and you're out of Schlitz and the bad guys still have more to come. I'm sorry. This doesn't make sense from the perspective of you being able to defend your castle. Absolutely absurd. And this is what these people are doing. Okay? We'll have more on our website about that. But I'm just saying, from the standpoint of, you know, dealing with Stop the Steal, these important Supreme Court cases are coming up. And I would suggest to you, when you look carefully at what's going on with the attempts to legitimize the steal, and that's what they're trying to do. They want to legitimize the steal and federalizing the elections, particularly if the Democrats are going to maintain control through a variety of electoral shenanigans, then guess what? We have to stop this H.R. 1. And again, those of us who hold the proposition that, okay, we can do this, we can still prevail. If we're going to be proven right on this, then we have got to make sure that somewhere along the line, it's going to pass the House, we know. Maybe some of these Democrats, as I mentioned earlier, who live in that Trump district that they somehow got elected, okay, maybe they'll think twice about going down this road. Maybe. Joe Manchin is someone from West by God, Virginia, who should be opposed to all of this. Should be. He said publicly he's against court packing. Okay, we'll see what else he's against. We'll see. Because if he doesn't support his own party on these critical votes that are coming up, well, you can bet West Virginia's not getting any federal money for a long time. Is he going to be able to withstand the blackmail that's going to come with this? We'll see. Hopefully he's a man of integrity, and we'll see what happens. But let's just assume he caves. Think about this. Then they pass H.R. 1. And guess who's going to sign it? Biden? Harris, who's ever there at the time. And I'm saying that in a way that supports the whole idea that Biden ain't going to be there long. Okay? So here you have a situation then. An unconstitutional law has just been passed. What's our line of defense? It's only through the attorney generals and the secretaries of state in these Republican states that are going to take this to court. And we'll see if it's going to win. So what happens like when we have our attorney generals go after other unconstitutional aspects of their program? What happens if we can't stop them from opening the border as they're doing right now? What happens if we can't stop them from packing the court? What's the point at which, and I raised this question the other day at the town hall, what's the point at which we know that we've lost because all the institutions are out of our control, and yet we know what they're doing is absolutely un-American, it's unconstitutional, and yet they're doing it. Now, run the reel back to 1776. What was the trigger point for the revolutionary generation? Well, we can argue about that. But clearly, no taxation without representation is part of the deal. Okay? So we have our own no taxation without representation issue standing right in front of us. It's right there, folks. If they pass all of this stuff, because they can. The question is, how long before we say no? And what does saying no mean in terms of dealing with this? Now, am I talking coup? I don't know. I don't know what coup means. I do know what it means to be in a position where the same revolutionary problems existed in 1776. Are we there yet? I would say the trigger point for that hasn't been reached yet. Okay? It's not there yet. But guess what? Pretty soon it's going to be there. And that's going to be the test. I hope it doesn't get there. Because if it does get there, then we either take the country back. Think about it. Because what they're doing is not right. It's not right from the standpoint of the Declaration. It's not right from the standpoint of the Constitution. And so, do we have a right to resist things that are against our founding documents, that are wrong to begin with, that have historically never proven to be right, that have only given you the Hitlers, the Stalins, you know, the Castros, the Maos, the Z's, the Chavez's? I mean, that's what the hell we're talking about here. And it's just around the corner. That's how serious this is. So I would ask you all, and I'm a minute over. Lori, I still have more to say, okay?
Complete your thought, please.
Okay, all right. I have more to say because I want to talk about state issues, but I'll do that next week, okay? But here I am, folks. I mean, what is the trigger point going to be? And I do think that's something that we have got to think about. And I mean, it's really amazing. You run back to 1962. There was a movie that the liberals loved. It's called 7 Days in May, okay? 7 Days in May was all about a military coup because we had a super left-wing communist-type president. And so the military wouldn't put up with that then. Of course, the real 7 Days in May really turned out to be the anti-war movement, which really tried to destroy the country then. But be that as it may, my point is, the 7 Days in May scenario has been bandied about, I think, with this QAnon type person talking about maybe March 4th being a major day. Look, I don't know about all of that. I will say this, though. If it turns out that there is a trigger point and a revolutionary movement has to happen in order to keep these communists from running this country, then it seems to me the military is the logical place to look for to something happening to recover the freedom that we are about to lose. Okay? Now, am I QAnoning? No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the facts here, folks. And the facts are not in our favor. Unless people like Joe Manchin stand up and say no to H.R. 1 and a few other things. So, that's where it is. Okay? And I'll be back next week to talk more about this on the state level because the session is starting again on this Tuesday. I think it's the third week of the session. So we'll see what the state boys are going to do and see if they can't inject some protections into our state laws to make sure that the feds don't go too far. Stay with me, folks. I'll see you next week. Y'all take care.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lou Campominosi. You've been listening to the Conservative Watchdog Weekly News Review, brought to you by Spriggs Enterprises, featuring the Shell gas stations in Daphne on Highways 90 and 98, and in Malbus on 181. You can now listen to this program again on our new website. If you missed part of it or you want to tell a friend, WABF1480.com. That's WABF1480.com. And listen every Monday from 10:05 until 10:35 here at WABF, now resuming regular programming.